We come today in our broadcast to Luke chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 1. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6 is the first story that we're going to look at today. And we're going to read this section of Scripture and then do some commenting on it. And as we get to Luke chapter 14 and we begin in verse 1, we're going to find a familiar story. We're going to find an old controversy here that is about to erupt again. And it is about the Sabbath day. It is about what you could do or not do on the Sabbath day according to the law of Moses. You remember that several times Jesus has it out with these Pharisees about that question. And so you know that when the Pharisees and Jesus get together here on the Sabbath day, there's likely to be some kind of conflict, some kind of dispute about the Sabbath day. And so it is. And so we begin to read here in Luke chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Now notice the setting. It's on the Sabbath day, first of all. Secondly, it is in the house of one of these Pharisees. But it's not just any Pharisee. This man is one of the chief Pharisees. That means he is one of the prominent Pharisees. He's not just a respected religious leader among the common Jew. He is a respected religious figure among these other Pharisees as well. And so this man is highly regarded. He is one of the prominent, chief, leading, main Pharisees in the nation. So Jesus goes into this man's house to eat bread on the Sabbath day. And I want you to notice again that the Bible says that they watched him. Isn't it interesting so many times that these people are just watching Jesus? They're just looking at what he's doing. Earlier in this book, we found in Luke chapter 6, verse 7, that they watched him to see if they could find something that they could make an accusation against him about. So they would watch him to see if they could find something that was wrong with his life or inconsistent about his behavior. So the Bible doesn't specifically tell us that that was their motive here, but oftentimes we know that it was. The Bible says that they watched him. You know, folks, if Jesus were here today, it wouldn't be any different. You would find that there would be some people who would watch him out of curiosity. You would find that there would be other people who would just watch him to see if they could find him doing something that was wrong, to give them some kind of ammunition against him. People haven't changed. And so just as people watch Jesus to see if there was something that was wrong in his life or in his teaching, there are people that go to the Bible today just to see if they can find something wrong with it, just to see if they can find some kind of inconsistency or contradiction within it. If they care to read it at all, that's the only reason that they look at it. So times haven't changed because people really don't change that much. So they're watching Jesus. He's there in the house. And you know that these Pharisees have already heard something about Jesus Christ. They already know something about him, and that's evident from the very fact that he's invited to go home with this Pharisee here. They didn't just invite anybody and everybody to come home with them. They have heard about him. They want to find out more. It could be that they're jealous of him. It could be that they perceive him as a threat. It could be that some of them are interested in hearing him expound the Scriptures, but for whatever reason, they invite him in, and you have all these Pharisees and all these Jews that are there, and they're watching Jesus Christ. In verse 2, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy." So here's a man who has swelling. Swelling from retaining water. And it's a very serious thing, or at least a very uncomfortable thing, and this man wants to be cured of it. The word dropsy here means a swelling. So here's a man that needs healing. Here's a man that needs Jesus' help. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Jesus beats them to the punch here. Rather than waiting for them to say something about the Sabbath day and waiting for them to criticize him, he asked them a question. In verse 3, "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees." Now the word lawyers there means experts in the law of Moses. The Bible is not talking about attorneys here. It's not talking about those who are experts in legal matters. It's talking about those who specialized in the law of Moses. And so they're really supposed to know their Bible well. So Jesus asked them and the Pharisees this question. He said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Now that's a simple question, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing tricky about that. It was not any kind of a trick question. It was a simple, straightforward question. Is it lawful, that is it scriptural? Is it biblical to heal somebody on the Sabbath day? Now you see, this is even more interesting here because these same Pharisees were very prone and they were not hesitant at all to ask Jesus a Bible question. When they wanted to ask Jesus something about the Bible, they went straight to him and they gave him that question and they expected an answer from Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says in verse 3 that Jesus asked them this question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? These men were supposed to know a lot about the Bible. They were supposed to know Jewish traditions. Why didn't they answer? Why didn't they say anything? The Bible says in verse 4, and they held their peace. They did not answer a single solitary word. If they had had the convictions that they claimed to have, if they had been as brave and courageous and men of God like they claimed before the people, they would have been quick to respond. Whatever their opinion was, they would have said, well, we'll tell you what we think. Here's what we say about that. But they didn't say a word. Now, folks, this reveals something about their character. They expected Jesus to answer their questions, but they're not willing to answer Jesus' questions. Is that just? Is that honest? Is that the courageous thing to do? Not at all. But that shows the character of these people. They're not honest. They're not just, and they're certainly not men of courage and men of conviction. So the Bible says they held their peace. And too, we find that there are people today who are like that. They are very quick to ask other people Bible questions. And they expect answers out of those people. They want other people to commit themselves to a Bible question that they have. But if you turn right around and ask them a Bible question, they're not so quick with an answer. As a matter of fact, they may not even say a word. That shows something about people, folks. When people want you to answer a Bible question, but they're not willing to answer questions themselves, then that means they're either not serious about it, or they have something to hide, or they're trying to pull something. If a man is honest, and you ask him a Bible question, and he has a view on that, why would he try to hide it? Why wouldn't he reveal it? That's what I'm saying about this, folks. When you look at what Jesus did with these Pharisees, it's like what sometimes happens today. People will ask a Bible question, but then when you start asking them questions, which reveal the inconsistencies and the contradictions in their beliefs, then they back off of it and say, well, I don't know about that, and I don't have a conviction about that, and I don't really have a position about that. When actually they do, but they just don't want it known, and they don't want it examined either. I remember years ago a man saying that there is no false teacher that can answer questions consistently. And I thought a lot about that. When a man believes something that is wrong, when a man doesn't believe the Bible and he believes something that's false and you start asking him questions, those questions are going to expose how that he contradicts the Bible and teaches things contrary to it. So it's to his advantage then that he does not answer any question, that he refuses to deal with those questions. So that indicates a lot about a man. It says a lot about a man when he wants to ask everybody else Bible questions, but he refuses to answer Bible questions himself. That was true of the Pharisees, and it's true today. Now the Bible says in verse 4 that after they held their peace, that Jesus took him and healed him and let him go. And in verse 5, he answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox, a donkey or an ox, fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. They couldn't answer him, folks, because if they had, it would have exposed their own false doctrine and their own hypocrisy. Now, they could have answered him if they'd been willing to repent. If they had decided to be honest for a change, they could have answered him. They could have said, well, sure, if we've got a donkey or if we have an ox that has fallen into a pit or into a ditch on the Sabbath day, why, we'll go to them and we'll lift them out. We'll pull them out of that ditch because that's an emergency. They knew that if they had answered like that, that Jesus would have come back and said, well, if it's lawful for you, if it's scriptural for you to help out an animal on the Sabbath day, then why would you have a problem with me helping out a man and healing him on the Sabbath day? Don't you think more of this man than your animals? Or do you think more of your livestock than you do a human being? They didn't want to be asked these questions. They didn't want to be exposed, and so they just avoided the situation. The Bible says that they would not answer him. So Jesus had them backed into a corner. Jesus was shining the light of truth on these men. And the reason they did not answer is not because they're not smart. It's not because they're not educated. It's not because they really don't know the Bible or that they have not read it that much. Again, folks, these are the so-called experts of Jesus' time. These are the men that are supposed to know more about the Bible, more about the law, than anybody else. Now, of course, Jesus knew far more than they did. But I'm saying as far as their reputation is concerned, as far as their image in the eyes of the Jews was concerned, they were held up to be the most knowledgeable men of the law of Moses in their time. They are experts in interpreting the scriptures and applying the law of Moses. So why didn't they answer? They didn't answer because they're caught. They're caught in an inconsistency. The very thing that they were trying to catch Jesus in is what they are now caught in. They were looking at Jesus and trying to catch him in some kind of contradiction. They were hoping that they could catch him in something where they could point the finger and say, aha, we've caught you. You have violated the law. You have contradicted the law of Moses. But as it turns out, they're the ones who are caught in a contradiction. They're contradicting themselves, they're contradicting their own rabbis, and they're certainly contradicting the law of God, because the law of God put an emphasis on mankind. The law of God said to show mercy to human beings, and they were so blinded by their own human religious tradition that they did not even have mercy toward this man that is there with them. What a sad thing that is. What a tragic mistake they made. And yet we find this mistake is not uncommon in the New Testament. This sin is something that occurs over and over again in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I remind you as well, folks, that this is one of the reasons why that Jesus collided with the Jewish leadership so many times. Jesus was coming at it from the standpoint that the Bible was the sole authority in religion, that it was the highest authority in religious matters. The scribes and the Pharisees, however, said that the law of Moses was an authority, but not the authority, because they made their own traditions equal to, and in some cases, above the law of Moses itself. And so that same kind of thinking takes place today, and that's the reason why that when you follow the Bible and the Bible supremely, that you're going to collide with people who follow the Bible to some extent, but weave their traditions in on the side, and in the end, oftentimes think more of their traditions than they do the Word of God. Let us hold fast to the Bible. Let us stay with the Scriptures just like Jesus did to the very end. Thank you for tuning in this morning, and have a wonderful rest of the day.